This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Craig Sullivan, Senior Vice President of Enterprise and International Products at NetSuite. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm okay. We've got an important date coming up, 3 days' time, Brexit. I'm just wondering, because one of the things you said to me before is NetSuite thrives on change because you're really good at delivering change to organisations in terms of compliance. What's on your roadmap? What's the what if? And where do you think the main issues are that companies need to consider? And what are the changes you're putting into the product or haven't yet put in the product but may put in the product if it actually happens in 3 days' time, although it's just been delayed, I believe.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that was the breaking news this morning, wasn't it? That it has been approved to be moved back. Or I guess we're waiting for the formal letter as part of the process. But Donald Tusk did announce that the EU had agreed to move that back to the end of January, which provides everyone more time to prepare for the thing that no one really has enough detail on the impact of. In all seriousness, it's a good question, and we do get this question a lot from customers. We've spent a lot of time over the years making sure that we are at the front of compliance changes, particularly as it relates to tax reporting changes here in the UK and in other markets, so that our customers don't have to worry about that. We've recently implemented Making Tax Digital. That's going very well. We were early out of the gate in terms of preparing for that and supporting those changes where they went from being optional to mandatory for customers here. And we're going to be keeping our eye on how that evolves in the context of the leaving of the EU community. The biggest things that we're looking at, though, given our success in helping businesses that are operating in a multinational environment, is what happens when you're importing goods from suppliers and what you need to do as an exporter of goods to EU markets. So things like Intrastat, that's an obvious change that if you're no longer part of the EU, you no longer will be needing to complete Intrastats. Interestingly, for a UK customer, that will actually reduce some of what the NetSuite system does today in terms of needing to track and report on that. But of course, if you're operating in Germany as well, then you still have to complete those documents for the activities that the German entity is doing with the other EU member states. We know that there's going to be additional documentation around both the importing and the exporting side of things. Things like the supply chain control tower, which we announced just recently, we'll have to take a look at that in the context of what it means in terms of impacting potentially delivery times and availability of product for delivery out to customers. But I think sort of at the highest level, looking at the implications for importers and exporters selling into the EU market will be the biggest area of focus for us and for our customers.
What about Suite Commerce and e-commerce?
That's an interesting area as well. Another change that will occur for customers that are operating with businesses fulfilling digital goods and services out of the United States into will no longer be part of the mini one-stop shop, the MOSS standard here in the UK. So that'll be one thing that we'll need to change on the commerce side. More broadly, if we're looking at commerce, that really does fall into the import-export environment, making sure that you're making promises to customers that you can fulfill orders to their particular location as a result of any change in the standards there.
Does that where the supply chain tower fit in, or can it?
The supply chain tower really fits in on the procurement side of that. If you're a manufacturer, if buying in raw materials, if you're a wholesale distributor buying in finished goods for distribution onwards, the supply chain control tower gives you the visibility of the availability, the location of those products in their journey to you so that you can make the appropriate promises out to your customers.
Do you have the equivalent look on the other end of the supply chain in terms of doubt to customers for the distribution companies?
We don't today, but that's coming. That is something that we're looking at based on those concepts that we've applied to the supply chain control tower, looking at that out in terms of the fulfillment side of the business so that we can be more predictive and helpful in terms of managing those processes as well.
Sweet World 2020.
An announcement then? Who knows?
Are there any other areas that you think companies need to be concerned around? The changes that Brexit, whether it's a hard fall or treaty, might change that are impacted through NetSuite?
The easy ones to talk about are the changes in terms of the reporting and the fact that we will be doing more of some of that, less of the other thing. One thing I think that businesses need to be aware of is going to be the economics of doing business with the markets that they've been trading with in the past. It may very well become more expensive to be procuring goods or services from wherever they currently do that, if it's within the EU as a result of either currency fluctuation or pricing parity issues. In some cases, as things evolve, maybe even standards for production and ingredients, if it's food products or those kinds of things. But then also the cost of fulfilling, the cost of moving goods or the cost of services, all of that will need to factor into whether the current business structure is an appropriate business structure to achieve the desired margins.
Are you talking about the possibility of having more subsidiaries, the idea of having a German subsidiary, which you didn't have before because you had the freedom of movement, etc.? Do you see more companies needing to be able to set up more subsidiaries across Europe?
I think it could go in both directions, frankly. It could be that in order to successfully sell there, they do have to be creating an entity there, which we can help them with, of course, as we've talked about many times before. It's very possible that an existing supplier or an existing country of origin may actually not be as viable from a cost perspective or from a compliance perspective as it was when the UK was part of the EU. There's a lot of opportunity there perhaps to simplify the subsidiary footprint, should that be the case. The overarching message on that question is that businesses should be aware that those phenomena could occur and they need to be open to identifying how best to navigate that. In the same way as we'll see whether Marmite or whatever else becomes more expensive in the supermarket, it could become the case that wherever you're sourcing raw materials from today or where you've got a service center today could become more or less expensive to do so as part of the post-Brexit situation.
If we reverse that question, obviously the UK has got to set up new treaties with lots of other countries because the EU had a block deal with most countries, which the UK is part of. Now the UK might have to deal with lots of different countries. Countries like Brazil have quite complex laws. Where are the problems going to be? Which are the countries that's going to be most difficult and most onerous possibly for the UK organisations?
All of these markets have varying levels of complexity and standards that need to be more deeply looked into in order to ensure that they are acceptable and compliant with what the UK is going to require. Where you will need to be, regardless of Brexit or not, where you need to pay a lot more attention is those markets that are historically more complex. Brazil is a very dynamic market. Most of the South American markets are very dynamic. But what's interesting about those markets, in the same way as China and many of the other governments in Asia as well, they're moving towards e-government. They're moving towards more automation of compliance, whether it's from a tax reporting perspective or from an operational compliance perspective and eco standards, etc. Ironically, those markets, I think, that have traditionally been very complex will probably become easier to interact with and operate in as a result of most of the complexity being automated through these e-initiatives. If you have the software that can handle that, which of course NetSuite has been very focused on making sure that we provide those capabilities to our customers.
Obviously, NetSuite's very keen on internationalization. One of the things we heard Nicky Tozer say on stage was, I think 99% of your customers work in more than one country. And it brings up the issue of internationalization, which is quite complex. And I'm not aware of a Suite Success program that actually guides customers through that process country by country. How does NetSuite approach that currently? And is that something you might look to do?
It's an interesting question. With Suite Success, what we've been doing, and we've been very busy over this past 18 months or so, is really taking that program that did begin in the US and localizing that into the key markets. And so some of the announcements that we've made this week about Suite Success being ready for manufacturing businesses and software companies here in the UK now are associated with us identifying what it means to be running a business on the NetSuite platform and moving to the NetSuite platform if you're running businesses in those industries. We haven't yet, to your question, looked at Suite Successizing the process for our customers to achieve their expansion. We've made it very simple relative to other systems, but we don't have a leading practice for what it means to add a new subsidiary or begin selling into another market. And that's something that could be very useful because we've generally left that up to the customer or to the partners. We've made it very easy, obviously, with the One World product and the ability to add subsidiaries. But you've given me a bit of an idea there that maybe we can explore that as we move forward to help customers more rapidly take advantage of these global capabilities.
And you mentioned manufacturing, but manufacturing you launched in 2018 as well. So what's different this year?
What's different from what we've done in the past is that we've really tailored those offerings to the SMB, to the smaller businesses that are migrating from probably a traditional spreadsheet-only environment, or maybe they've been using QuickBooks or Xero at the low end, and they're looking then to take that next step in order to simplify their offerings. That's what the team have spent the last 18 months looking at, is basically what does that mean for a business here as opposed to a business in the United States, and tailoring those offerings for this particular market.
In terms of the non-profits which you announced, what are the differences? Are there some nuances you've applied in the UK?
We've looked at local reporting requirements and made sure that where you're reporting for UK reporting purposes, that the solution is tailored for this particular market. And that's really comes back to that be local part of our message. What we don't want to be doing is, because we've seen many US software businesses and other types of business fall foul of this, is that we don't want to just bring the US version of the product to any market outside of the US. We want it to be really recognized as something that's been developed by local people for the local market. It's really making sure that we've got the right KPIs with the right currency formats, as well as the, you know, the local reports that are expected.
And the right date format.
The date formats. And obviously in the UK, we've got to make sure the spelling's correct. But outside of the UK, as we move forward, with all of these Suite Success editions, it's about local language and other local expectations as well.
What about the US? And you mentioned China, but US and Japan, by coming out of the EU, you will lose the trade agreements with the US, potentially have to reform them. Is that going to cause a problem?
I think at the macro level, absolutely. The UK economy and the UK government need to solve those kinds of problems. It remains to be seen whether that actually is going to impact business on a day-to-day basis materially. The key here is that it's in everyone's best interests that these deals get put in place as rapidly as possible. With all of this, I'm eternally an optimist that the right things will happen to ensure that the economy and the global economy, frankly, is at risk here too. I think everyone has got a vested interest in getting through those administrative things quickly.
You mentioned e-government. We've obviously got MTD in the UK. Are you seeing that anywhere else? I mean, we've got single-touch payroll in Australia, but I'm just wondering, is there an equivalent to MTD elsewhere yet, or is it coming?
In most of the markets, we're seeing similar, if not identical, but similar moves. E-government is electronic government, but it's really a efficiency drive for those governments. So by going electronic, they drive more efficiency into their government administration. Throughout South America, Brazil is probably the most sophisticated of all of the governments in this area. But Portugal has long been catching up in terms of what they're looking to do here. There's a lot of evolving e-invoicing standards that are part of the beginning of that journey as well, because in essence, what this is driving towards is move away from periodic, be it monthly or quarterly updates, in essence, real-time updates and notifications so that the authorities can keep track of those things. It's paramount importance that we're on top of that, which we continue to be for the key markets that our customers operate in.
Is e-invoicing coming into Europe soon?
In terms of mandated, I'm not entirely sure. We're definitely seeing a lot of Germany, for example, and other European markets are moving in that direction. Of course, the fun there is that these standards are developing and everyone interprets the standards differently. It's the same with bank formats around the world as well. But all signs are pointing towards more standardization than ever. And that's going to be a big boon for business in general. It will remove a lot of cost in operation. But obviously within NetSuite, we think that we can provide an even better experience, for particularly for those businesses that are trading between their own subsidiaries, to remove a lot of the paper trail, a lot of the complexity that exists there.
You talk about banks there. Where is NetSuite on bank feeds at the moment in terms of automating them?
We have bank feeds in some 50 plus countries in terms of the ability to integrate to those banks. We are working on a larger cash management initiative that will automate that banking integration for most of the major banks in the majority of the countries that our customers are operating in. That's in progress, and maybe we'll talk about that at an upcoming event.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Thank you. Good to see you.